Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. 2024 Santa Fe, available early 2024.
Dana Carvey and David Spade here.
You might know our podcast, Fly on the Wall, featuring guests from across the entertainment industry.
We decided to do a spinoff called Superfly, and it's fun. It's just two of us riffing on current events, pop culture, catching up, impressions.
Joe, Trump's trying to be a dictator.
Yeah, just bump on the tater tots.
Joe, no.
Listen to and follow Superfly on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
The JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. Man, we're 2 days away from the Super Bowl. I've been waiting on this for a long time. Thank you to everybody locked in, listening all over North America. Thank you so much to super producer and host Ryan Hickey but holding it down for us in New York City. We've already had a busy show. We've had a busy night. We've had a busy evening. Busy, 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 busy. Just how I like it. We've talked Hall of Fame. We've talked the big game. We've already had some guests on. Thank you so much to Jawan Johnson of the New Orleans Saints for coming through. Thank you so much. Dieter Kurtenbach came through and joined us. Knows everything about the San Francisco 49ers, has to cover them for KNBR out in the Bay Area. We talked about some of the awards that were given out last night. Somehow, some way, the Browns got a lot of them at the NFL Honors Show. Kevin Stefanski, Coach of the Year. Miles Garrett, Defensive Player of the Year. Joe Flacco ends up being the Comeback Player of the Year. Just wild stuff. And then Lamar Jackson, he won MVP. What a surprise. You know what? A matter of fact, let's take a listen to Lamar Jackson after winning the award and giving his speech on the NFL Network. Listen to this.
First and foremost, you know, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, without him, nothing is possible. I want to thank my organization, you know, Baltimore Ravens for, you know, finally getting this deal done. shout out to Eric, you know, shout out to Steve, Coach Harbaugh, you know, the whole unit. My offense, man, my offensive line, man, I can't thank them enough for what they've done. I'm not out there blocking, you know, catching the ball, you know, doing everything, you know, it's my team, it's a team thing, you know, for these awards. And, you know, I want to thank my fellow man at home. But you guys have a great night, and that's all, folks.
Nice little kick there, little Looney Tunes kick. That's all, folks. Anyway, we got more here on this show. I'm not going anywhere. I get started, though, every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. So we talked MVP. We talked the awards. Last hour, we took some time to really take a look at some of the inductees going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame later on this year. That list is Dwight Freeney, Julius Peppers, Devin Hester, the wide receiver Andre Johnson, Patrick Willis. And then you have some senior inductees, Steve McMichael, formerly of the Chicago Bears, and Randy Gradishar, formerly of the Denver Broncos. In about, let's say, 20 minutes from now, Jawan Johnson is going to come through, we spoke to Jawan. Demontre Moore is going to come through and talk to us. Played for the 49ers, is still playing football, would love to get back into the league. And then next hour, we're going to dive a little deeper. But since we've been talking about Hall of Famers, guys who are in, folks who are not, let's bring up some comments by someone who is, well, damn it, he's one hell of a Hall of Famer. He's one of the greatest running backs of all time. 3-time Super Bowl champion, has more yards than anybody. It's Emmitt Smith. Emmitt Smith was on Maggie and Perloff in the morning here on CBS Sports Radio. And let's just say Emmitt had a few things that he wanted to just shall I say, just get off of his chest. He was critical of the Dallas Cowboys, something that he is not afraid of. And, you know, he kind of went in multiple directions. He went at the coach, and then he went at the quarterback. Let's take a listen to what he had to say about Dak Prescott, an MVP finalist, by the way, and his biggest issue with the man. Take a listen to Emmitt Smith.
I think it's preparation. I mean, some things, I can only point to one game, and this to me sums it up for me. This sums it up for me. We're playing Detroit in Dallas, and it's a heck of a game. We actually take the lead. Detroit is driving to try to come down the score and get the lead back. We pick the ball off, and it's about 3 minutes left, and I think they're almost out of timeouts, if not out of timeouts. They will be. All we have to do is just milk the clock. And we get the pick. So we go 1, 2, 3, get the first down. And all we have to do is milk the clock. Instead, guess what? We throw the ball 3 straight times. How smart is that? That is absolutely hideous. All you have to do is just run the rock or take a knee. I don't care. But then when you throw the ball the third time, and the quarterback throw the ball out of bounds to stop the clock. It doesn't even take a sack. So that says to me, either he was not prepared properly or he forgot he was playing the game.
Damn. And, yeah, that game, that Saturday night game, like right before New Year's between the Detroit Lions and the Dallas Cowboys was a nutty game. It's also that game where the Lions had an ineligible receiver. It's also the game that Dan Campbell wanted to gamble, and I think that was a precursor to things that we definitely saw here in the postseason. And one of the issues also happened to be Mike McCarthy in that game, you might remember. And a lot of that mismanagement and clock mismanagement came from him. And so Emmitt Smith didn't just hold back on Dak, who led the NFL with 36 touchdown passes this year. You can also take a look at Mike McCarthy. And Emmitt Smith went a little bit further talking to Maggie and Perloff. Emmitt Smith basically said, if it was my team, I wouldn't have brought back Mike McCarthy at all.
Our team just seems to be lost. I mean, I cannot put my finger on why it looks so, so bad.
So if that's the case, why is Dallas bringing back Mike McCarthy next year?
Because I'm not a GM. And to be honest with you, I thought that move would have been made because of how bad it looked. I think our team and organization right now give the appearance of becoming a great organization and being a great team. And they sell everybody on it every year. And selling people on it and getting the ratings around it is something that's important. But I think there are things that are much more important than all of the hype. I've never known the Cowboys organization to be a hype organization. But I think when you look at our teams, we make the playoff, we look like we're capable of going all the way, but we don't for some odd reason. I think that's a mental block. I think it's part of preparations of players not meeting the challenge and the expectations of becoming great and establishing your dominance as an individual player or as a group of men. And I don't see that consistently from our team and our organization.
Thank you. Is Emmitt the only dude not afraid to say that publicly? Thank you. This is a team where after they lost, okay, after another disappointment in the playoffs, after going into the playoffs and losing in the first damn round against the Green Bay Packers, you got Jerry Jones who keeps Mike McCarthy, right? He talks about how they have all the talent. And then Mike McCarthy, in his first press conference after we find out that he is going to keep his job, Mike McCarthy starts talking about how they have a championship organization They just haven't won a championship yet. I'm like, nah, bro, this ain't the 90s. This is not Emmitt's team, man. You can't say that. How about you win something first? And so it's nutty to listen to the Dallas Cowboys be delusional. And so I think there's two pathways here. When you think about the Dallas Cowboys, Emmitt was perfect. He's just told you what the Cowboys excel at. Selling. The Dallas Cowboys excel at telling everybody that they're America's team. The Dallas Cowboys excel in letting everybody know that we're the most valuable with the biggest stadium. Oh, we almost might have the World Cup finale. Like, the Dallas Cowboys and Jerry Jones are excellent, excellent at selling. Jerry Jones is an excellent salesman. There's a reason that Jerry Jones is the most influential person in the NFL behind Roger Goodell. It's because his team is the most valuable. It's because he has sold everybody on excellence, okay? They just haven't done it on the field. It's excellent marketing. But when you think about the play, it's been a lot of disappointing. And I'm not saying that Jerry Jones is going to have to, give up the reins. I'm not saying that he's going to have to croak. But I don't know if things are going to change with the way he operates. There's too much me. There's too much Jerry Jones. There's too much thoughts. And I don't care how much his kids are involved or how much he says they're involved or what they do or what interviews that they have. He creates too much public pressure. He can't help himself. He has backed himself into a corner of being the Dallas Cowboys. And whenever he's gone, and I'm not wishing him gone, things might be different. You know, is his son, is he going to be running his yap the way his dad does? Probably not. Unlikely. Is he going to pop up and do interviews? Yeah. This is how my dad did things. This is how I'm going to do things. But it just seems that they get in the way. They hung on too long to Jason Garrett. It's like Jason Garrett must have naked pictures of Jerry Jones, all right? It seems like they're holding on too long to Mike McCarthy, so much so that he's like walking on eggshells. It's like, hey, you know, am I going to win the Super Bowl next year? If not, I'm getting fired. The odds aren't high that they just wake up and win the Super Bowl next year. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be tough. And so this is insanity, right? When you do the same thing over and over again and you expect different results. Thank you, Emmitt Smith, for telling the truth. It's not going to happen. It's a pipe dream of mine. But before every Dallas Cowboys game, they should play those comments that Emmitt Smith shared with Maggie and Perloff this morning. They should play it on the big screen at AT&T Stadium. They should play it on the outside of AT&T Stadium before the fans get in. Just as a reminder that, hey, get ready for the same old, and the same mediocrity. You know what? I need to start my own campaign. Forget, I don't know, Roger Craig getting into the Hall of Fame. Forget the campaign about Antonio Gates getting into the Hall of Fame, which they both should be. I need to start a campaign where Emmitt Smith becomes GM of the Dallas Cowboys. I think he knows a whole hell of a lot more than the man who currently owns the team and runs the team and can't get out of his own damn way, and that's Jerry Jones. I don't know, maybe Jerry's son, maybe he will be smart enough to go, oh, you know what? Maybe I should have some player input here. You know what? Maybe I should bring in some of the folks who were around when we had success. That only makes sense. And I don't know to what degree Jerry is checking in with Troy. I don't know. Maybe not Michael. Maybe Emmitt. But come on now. Thank you, Emmitt Smith, for making sense. Dallas Cowboys running in place. It sucks. 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. In about 5 minutes, we'll have a conversation with Demontre Moore. But let's talk to Mike. He's here from Washington, D.C. You're on the JR Sport Re-Show. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, how you doing there, bud?
I'm excellent, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine, but I'm very disappointed with the awards yesterday. I'm a black man from Washington, and I see, you know, a lot going on with Lamar Jackson down here. But my biggest problem is I don't think he deserved the MVP. I think it's a big joke. And the other thing is, I also think that Myles Garrett did not deserve to be the defensive player of the year. And my
Slow down, Mike. That second point is certainly valid. We discussed it earlier on in the show. I don't think anyone who says T.J. Watt should have won it is, out of the world. So we can go ahead and put that one to bed. Why don't you believe that Lamar Jackson should have won the MVP?
Because he had 29 touchdowns. 29 touchdowns. And, you know, the year he won the MVP the first time, he had 16 touchdowns and 13 interceptions. He does not deserve to be the MVP.
Who do you feel should have been the MVP?
There's only one person that deserved it, and he'd be a nemesis team.
Well, Mike, hold on a second, Mike. Hold on. Hey, Ryan Hickey, I feel like he's gonna get lost. I hear his GPS going. You hear that?
I do, yes. Making
and
he's also
sharing inaccurate information.
Correct.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
What I'm going to do, you listen to the show, right?
All the time.
Okay, thank you so much. We got to take a break. We got a guest coming our way in 5 minutes. I want you to look up.
Hold on.
Don't talk. Listen. We're going to take a break. We have a guest who will be joining us. I'm going to address what you're saying on the other break, on the other side of our guest. And in the meantime, I want you to look up some of the information that you shared over the radio, which happened to be false. Okay, Mike?
Well, it's not false.
It is false. You talked about Lamar Jackson only having 16 touchdowns passing when he won an MVP, which is wholly inaccurate. You're off by about 20, and that also doesn't include the ones that he had on the ground. Hey, Mike, listen on the other side of the break. If you're going to call up, at least be accurate. You didn't even give me the name of the guy who he thinks is going to win MVP. I really don't care because his thought process is pretty, it's just wrong out the gate. At least give correct information. Come on. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. When we come back on the other side, we're going to talk to a former San Francisco 49er, Demontre Moore, joining us. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. 2024 Santa Fe, available early 2024.
Dana Carvey and David Spade here.
You might know our podcast, Fly on the Wall, featuring guests from across the entertainment industry.
We decided to do a spinoff called Superfly, and it's fun. It's just two of us riffing on current events, pop culture, catching up, impressions.
Joe, Trump's trying to be a dictator.
Yeah, just bump on the tater tots.
Joe, no.
Listen to and follow Superfly on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Chris Chapman's hit podcast was canceled.
As you know, my old show, The Chris Chapman Confrontation, was a victim of a little thing called cancel culture.
But he's learned, he's grown, and he's ready to win back his audience.
I'm back, better than ever, with the Chris Chapman Do-Over.
Starring Ike Barinholtz.
I have a new lady co-host on the pod.
Lisa Gilroy.
My mic is on!
And Neil Casey is the professor.
Greetings, my humans.
The new hit improv comedy, The Chris Chapman Do-Over. An Odyssey and Paper Kite production. Listen on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief
on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Super Bowl's only a couple of days away. Took forever for us to get here. It sure did. Right now, to talk about it is someone who has 9 years of experience in the NFL. Actually missed the Super Bowl with the 49ers due to injury. Right now, will be participating in the CFL this upcoming season. It's DeMontre Moore. DeMontre, how are you, man? Thank you for taking the time to hop on.
Man, I'm doing good. Thank you for having me, man.
Most definitely. Now, given all of your experiences, we know you had the injury of the last go-around back in that 2019, beginning of 2020. The week leading up to the Super Bowl, man, and all the preparation and the time, how much of a fight, but a mental battle was that for you, not being able to participate, man? How did you get through that?
Man, I got through it with my teammates and my brothers. The good thing about them was that year we had a bond. We had so many guys go down and had to step up and make that play and just be appreciative of it. They made you feel included. We were still involved in meetings. We were still on the sideline giving expertise to what we see as far as pass rush game. So they made it a good job of keeping everybody involved and mentally locked in.
Yeah, former defensive end in the league, 9-year NFL vet DeMontre Morris here with us, CBS Sports Radio. You know, Kyle Shanahan is going to be on the opposing sideline from Andy Reid. You know, a lot has been brought up about his strategies and whether they work or don't work or blowing leads. What was your experience with Coach Shanahan, and what makes him unique as a coach?
Man, my experience with Coach Shanahan was one of the best. He's a player-oriented guy, but I like to give out nicknames, and his nickname for me is the Mad Hatter. You can never guess what he's going to do. And you go out there thinking he's going to run, open the field up. Like, schematic-wise, he comes from a lineage of coaching expertise. He incorporates that but put his own twist with it. Funny story, my first time at the facility, right, I go in there. Everybody talks about Mike McDaniel, how he's been going viral for his shoes right now, the head coach of the Dolphins. Well, at the time, he was our offensive coordinator. I told him, man, your shoe game is crazy. He said, oh, you think this is something? Wait till you see Coach Shanahan. He wears the same 49ers stuff in there. It's real cool, laid back, and straightforward. But his shoe game was so immaculate. He had an unreleased pair of Yeezys on his feet. And he was like, oh, this is nothing. It's slight work. And every day, it was something different with a crazy twist. And that is like identical to his play calling style. Like, he has his foundation, but every day he's going to put a new twist in it, and he's getting new weapons. So it's going to be fun to watch this weekend.
You mean to tell me a head coach in the NFL actually has some personality and style? I guess it's the beginning of a new era, isn't it?
It's definitely a new era. You see it with Mike McDaniels, and guess what? He got it from his mentor, and Kyle Shanahan. So, hey, embrace the new wave. You have Antonio Pierce out there that's doing his swagger with the Raiders. So it's a new time and a new decade, and I love it. Embrace the personality.
Hey, DeMontre Morris here with us, CBS Sports Radio. From your time in the NFL, you didn't just play with the 49ers. You were also, speaking of coaches, you won the Seahawks at one point in time with Pete Carroll, who, just like Bill Belichick, is, I feel like, been aged out given the recent performance of the team. What was it like being around Pete Carroll, especially given his age? It seemed like he had a lot of personality, even if he was wearing Air Monarchs.
Yeah, he might have been wearing Air Monarchs, but with his what he lacked in style, he made up for personality and pizzazz. His personality was so exuberant and bright that he didn't need to wear a style like that. This man was one of the oldest coaches in the league and was still calling out offensive linemen and people to race and do 100-yard striders. Yeah, competition Wednesday every week. Not only do he make his players get involved, he makes the coaches get involved. Himself, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, no man is above one person. His motto is competition brings the best factor. And for him, it goes on to show you why he was there for so long. He built a great foundation to where the players led the team. The personalities took over because he set the precedent a long time ago. And when you set that type of precedent and you have that, you get that type of respect. And it goes off and it rings bells. You see, when he was released, so many people spoke out, from guys that are quiet like Russell Wilson, who were known as the good guy, to guys like Richard Sherman, Marshawn Lynch, like guys with personalities. You have every walk of life speaking about how much of a leader this man was, and he embraced them as the person and the personality. So my hat goes off to him. And just like him, Coach Shanahan, he's a player coach. They understand that you have to understand your player to get the best out of them. And not just that, after football, you're going to be a person. And that's the one thing that Pete Carroll, Kyle Shanahan, even Dan Campbell, who's a young and up-and-coming head coach right now, they embody those quotes. And you see why their teams are ready to run through walls for them. So that age has no limit in his eyes.
Demontre Morris here with us, the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. Man, operating on the defense this upcoming Sunday, we know about the Kansas City Chiefs defense, a young team that they've been able to draft well and kind of probably have the best defense in Patrick Mahomes' tenure since he took over as a starter. And the 49ers have pretty much always been stout, you know, over the past several years. When you sit down and watch the game or a game in general, what are you keying in on? Are you looking at the trenches? You watching a quarterback? What catches your eye?
Oh, man, phenomenal question. What catches my eye when I'm watching the game? The trench work. Every team that I've been a part, every league, dating from all the way back to Pee Wee to college, AAF, Spring League, the O-line and D-line come together and says, it starts up front. We only go as far as we go. And so I'm going to pay attention to those. That, because that's where the battle is going to start. Like you said, you have Kansas City Chiefs, young defense that they have drafted well and been built. I really think this is going to be the battle of the defensive coordinators, the battle of the Steve Spagnuolo and Steve Wilks, and who can call a better game. Because in that same breath of having a talented young defense that you built, on the other side, you have a talented defense that is a little more experienced. And mind you, Nick Bosa was a rookie last time that he was in the Super Bowl. You had a young Fred Warner. Now he's more experienced. You had Drake Greenlaw, who was making plays that's more experienced. So will that experience be a little much to overpower the Chiefs is the better question. So I'm going to watch who's going to play better and what's going to happen with these pass rushers, because it's going to start with quarterback play. You're going to have to contain Patrick Mahomes, who's the Steph Curry of football. He's going to get his, but can we keep him and manage him and make him throw in the pocket behind those big guys, where it starts with the trenches? And then that same answer, you're going to have to look at the other side and say, Kansas City Chiefs, are y'all going to sit here and allow Brock Purdy to make dimes and use his weapons, or are you going to make Brock Purdy beat you with his leg and doing what he had to do? Can Lady Luck keep striking? So I think it's going to start with the trenches, and that's where my eyes is going to be.
And speaking of those trenches, it's amazing to see what Chris Jones is able to do as an interior tackle, but then someone who can still get to the quarterback throughout the course of a season double-digit times. It's rare. What makes Chris Jones special or different in that case? It's a rarity.
It is. It's an extreme rarity. And what makes Chris Jones special? Chris Jones makes Chris Jones special. Sometimes you got God-gifted ability and being blessed with size, but when you have size and what is lacking in certain players, like, he has size and dog. You can see it by the way he goes out there. He plays with that tenacity, that hunger, that power, and that aggression. And then on top of that, you have a talented Steve Spagnuolo. We're not talking about the guy that won the championships with Kansas City Chiefs. His team, they're dating all the way back to innovating the NASCAR package, how to utilize pass rushers. When you have that type of mindset behind you, him having his talent and being just an athlete and now having that coaching and that experience, no wonder he's being, if not the best three tech, but one of the best three techniques in the game right now.
Demontre, if you had to throw it all down on the line out in Las Vegas, who the hell you think is going to win this game, man? Come on.
Man, you gonna put me in between a rock and a hard place. Some people say, hey, do you bet against the baby goat and Patrick Mahomes? Or do you go with the hot team that's more talented and looks better on the stats? And will this finally be Kyle Shanahan's year? If I was a betting man, I'm going to have to go with the 49ers. People might say that I'm biased because I lost and stuff like that. But the one thing I know, I talked to Chris Cassett, Eric Armstead, some other guys around that building, and was like, hey, man, go out there and finish this unfinished business. We did something that was special, but we didn't get to do something that was magical. And everybody, that core component is still there. So to hear them talk about how they're locked in, I think it's going to be there. And then on top of that, you have Christian McCaffrey in the game. I think this is going to be a shootout. I think there's going to be a lot of plays made on defense. But I think the 49ers are going to edge this one out by 8 points. And this is going to be Kyle Shanahan's year to get over on the park. But whoever has the ball last is going to win.
Oh, well, I better hope it's not Patrick Mahomes.
Exactly. So we'll see. But I got confidence, and I think the Niners are going to pull it out this year.
Well, Demontre, after 9 years in the league, you've transitioned over into the CFL. How was that transition like? And for people here in the States not as familiar with how the CFL operates, please tell us what some of the differences are and some of the intricacies, I guess, too.
Man, at the end of the day, football is football. You strap it on and it is a warrior sport. You just have warriors in different countries and all over the world. And the one thing about there, you get to experience a lot of culture. And yes, there are certain rules that are, that are different. But once you get past those rule changes and the field being a little bit bigger, football is football. Oh, I'm sorry about that. I'm getting choked up because it's exciting to talk about it because the lineage and realizing that that is one of the longest football playing league. The Grey Cup actually was, I believe if my history is correct, is 1905. So it started out as rugby, which transitioned to football. And then we had the American version where they moved it down. So our history dates back into that game. So what they say, to know your future, you got to kind of know your past. And for me, what makes it so monumental and memorable for me is my uncle, Keo Craver, who was fortunate enough to play in the NFL, then went to go play in the CFL. He's the reason that I started playing football, and he actually won a Grey Cup. And my whole thing was I wanted to be like him, and he used to always say, don't be like me, be better than me. And so we have a competition. I played longer than him in the NFL. Then I got over there my first year in the CFL and won a Grey Cup. He won one Grey Cup, and then he went to another one but didn't win. And so my goal is to get one more Grey Cup so I can finally sign, seal, and deliver and be that competition factor and say that I've won. So it is to have that type of lineage, to have the connection there, and to see the network and how much they love football there and that passion, it was a no-brainer for me. It's an opportunity. Play this game until the wheel falls off.
That's beautiful, man. Well, thank you for sharing that story and the just personal significance that it has for you. Demontre Morris here with us on CBS Sports Radio. As we wind this conversation down, you talk about the game and it growing and being international. Today, the NFL announces that they're going to have a game played in Spain. You know, we know that there's going to be a game played later this year down in Brazil, in Sao Paulo. What are your thoughts on the expansion of the game internationally? The NFL has been here, it's done that, but now they're doing even more.
Man, I love it. It's called growth. I'm an avid storyteller, and I'll never forget my rookie year. Justin Tuck left a note on my locker and said, hey, man, get here, use me, I'm the game plan. The game is only here, so you can improve it and do better after I leave. And to see what the NFL is becoming as a whole, wow, that is so, it's amazing. We're touching people. This game brings so much joy to people. A lot of people experience the game through television. So to bring it to a different nation that didn't have the opportunity for them to actually come see it, because football is worldwide. In my opinion, it's the best sport out there. But for them to now actually touch it, it's going to open up more fandom, but also not open up only more fandom. More athletes are going to be there. Now that they see the game in their country, we might see a few up-and-coming stars that say, hey, I remember being a kid and being at the first game in Brazil, and I knew that I could be in the NFL. So I think it's going to be multiple avenues, multiple fans that's going to keep exploding, and the game is evolving. And that's the one thing that we all that are fans of the game is wanting to constantly evolve and get better. We're doing the same thing. We get complacent. You get replaced. You keep evolving, and guess what? You stay relevant. So I love it.
Hey, Demontre, thank you so much for lending your perspective, not just on the game this Sunday, but the game in general, your experiences in the NFL, the CFL. Where can people keep up with you and follow everything that you got going on?
Yes, sir. On Twitter, it is TMore94. On Instagram, it is TheMonster98. And also on Twitch, it is TheLoop1911. I stream, have talks on there. And, hey, hopefully on a few radio stations in the future. We'll see. See where the chips may fall.
We'll be chatting with you some more, Demontre. You enjoy the weekend and have a good old season later on. We'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. Enjoy Super Bowl weekend. Thanks for having me. Thanks for
no doubt about it. Thank you so much to Demontre Moore for joining us. 9 years in the NFL, a breadth of experiences, and now you're going to roll until the wheels fall off and contribute to media as well, playing up in the CFL. This portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Are you stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Prior to that great conversation we had with Demontre Moore, we did take some time to talk about Emmitt Smith not happy with the Dallas Cowboys. Well, the New York Jets are a complete disaster most of the time. Their owner isn't happy with them. I'll tell you about it on the other side of the break.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's Friday night. Give me a beer now. Now. Anyway, I'll have a beer soon enough. Maybe something stronger. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Thank you oh so much to Demontre Moore for coming through in our last break. 9-year veteran in the NFL. He was on that last 49ers team that went to the Super Bowl. Unfortunately, Demontre had a broken arm and couldn't participate in the game. Right now, later on this year, he's going to be playing in the CFL. He says he's going to keep playing football until the wheels fall off. He was also an excellent guest and was able to provide some excellent insight, not just to his former head coach and Kyle Shanahan, Pete Carroll. He provided some historical reference to the CFL for people who are not as familiar with it, and just an excellent storyteller. So thank you so much to Demontre Moore for joining us here on CBS Sports Radio. If you missed the interview, I encourage you to hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. And if you're not listening on the free Odyssey app, well, that's fine. But make sure you get the app anyway, okay? Then you can hit rewind there later on in the future. 855-212-4CBS is the number. That's 855-212-4CBS. Demontre, he thinks the game is going to be decided by whoever has the football last. No shock, no surprise there. And we're going to continue to talk about the big game on the other side of the hour, including I saw a friend of mine bought a Pepsi and I think a bottle of water. Hickey, how much you think that costs out at the Fan Fest or whatever the hell they calling that thing?
Oh, no. A Pepsi and a bottle of water. I will say $13.
$23.
Oh, my God.
$23.
I think I'd drink out of a stream at that point if that was the other option. $23 for two drinks that are non-alcoholic? That is absurd.
$23, brother. And so this is, mind you, the game is Sunday. This is not Allegiant Stadium. $23. This is Vegas. Didn't I tell, was it last week or Monday I gave somebody advice about going out there? This week, right?
This week, yes. He's going out, was it next month?
No, didn't he say he was, yeah, some convention or something like that?
Yeah, for a band.
Yeah, and I told him, I said, bro, you going to Vegas, do not forget your toothbrush. Don't do it. Don't forget anything because you're going to get charged out the you-know-what. $23, Pepsi, and a bottle of water. I don't get it. I'm looking at 20 ounces of water right in front of me. It belongs to me. Came directly out of my refrigerator. And I don't, how much is a, I don't drink, I should shut up. I don't drink Pepsi anyway. How much is a Pepsi now? If you get it from a vending machine, what, $4 or $5, right? No?
I was going to say like $2. Like, I don't know, two and a half, somewhere in there.
A Pepsi is about two and a half, right?
Right. Work vending machine, I think it's about fair or about accurate.
So if I go to the airport and ask for a Pepsi, that one's going to be $5, right?
Oh, yeah. And I guess you go to the Super Bowl, it's going to be like, two times that.
$15 a drink.
Insane.
Doesn't matter. I'm guessing. You know, I'm going to look that up when we get to commercial break. You know, I appreciate here in Atlanta, Arthur Blank, and by the way, Arthur Blank, did you hear what he had to say about Bill Belichick today?
That he did not offer him the job? He
didn't offer him the job. Bill Belichick didn't ask for complete control. Arthur Blank, you know, setting things straight. That's what he said. And it's like, I'm 100 million trillion percent, you know, certain. I want to clear that up, that Bill Belichick didn't ask for anything, and we did not offer him the job. Well, doesn't matter now because Raheem Morris has the job. But one thing here in Atlanta that I do have to give credit to Arthur Blank for, and this is a rarity. I haven't seen this in any stadium, any arena. Maybe somebody else has picked it up along the way. Here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, you have the normal concessions. You know, you can go and they got all this fancy food now, you know, Wagyu beef and all this fancy stuff. They had it all. You can still go to concession stands all throughout the stadium that are easily and readily accessible, and you can get yourself a meal for $5. Like, it's reasonably priced. Is it the fancy? No. It's almost like a little bit of a throwback, but at least they're conscious of the price and not trying to nickel and dime people, you know, for every cent. I remember when they opened up Citi Field for the New York Mets. And by the way, I see their former general manager was been banned for a year for falsifying injuries. I guess everybody lies now. This Billy Epler, what a liar. He's going to be gone for a year. But anyway, out at Citi Field, they basically said, you got everything you want. Have you been in that outfield, Hickey?
Oh, I have. There is plenty of options.
Now, is it expensive out there?
I feel like at this point you become like used to the stadium prices, so it's not exorbitant. It's not like one of those you get sticker shock. I would say it's about average.
Man, Hickey, I ain't paying for food in no stadium. Let me stop lying. It's rare that I'm buying food at a stadium. If the food is free, you can bet your ass I'm going to go get the food if it's free. But I am not paying for stadium food. The last time I paid for stadium food was at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. And I'm starving here. I just need to get something. And, of course, it's chicken tenders. I'm not expecting, you know, a magnificent meal. But it was crap. It was high-priced crap. I don't know how much I spent. $15 for stupid chicken tenders and wet French fries? Like, you think they're going to be serving this at the soup? Well, maybe not.
I saw one price. Do you want to guess how much a slice of pizza is going to cost you Sunday at the Super Bowl?
One slice of pizza at the Super Bowl. $6.50.
Double that and more. $13.99.
Wait a minute. You're lying.
I just looked it up. Two different websites had that same price.
One slice of pizza at the Super Bowl is going to cost, you said $13.50?
$13.99.
$14 for a slice of pizza?
One slice. That maybe will get you half filled.
Doesn't that get you a whole pie? Like, yeah. in the world?
Go to Domino's. They'll get two pies for that price.
Oh, my God. We're going to talk more about this and get into some football, too. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. 2024 Santa Fe, available early 2024.
Dana Carvey and David Spade here.
You might know our podcast, Fly on the Wall, featuring guests from across the entertainment industry.
We decided to do a spinoff called Superfly, and it's fun. It's just two of us riffing on current events, pop culture, catching up, impressions.
Joe, Trump's trying to be a dictator.
Yeah, just bump on the tater tots.
Joe, no.
Listen to and follow Superfly on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Chris Chapman's hit podcast was canceled.
As you know, my old show, The Chris Chapman Confrontation, was a victim of a little thing called cancel culture.
But he's learned, he's grown, and he's ready to win back his audience.
I'm back, better than ever, with The Chris Chapman Do-Over.
Starring Ike Barinholtz.
I have a new lady co-host on the pod.
Lisa Gilroy.
My mic is on!
And Neil Casey is the professor.
Greetings, my humans.
The new hit improv comedy, The Chris Chapman Do-Over. An Odyssey and Paper Kite production. Listen on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.